There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11 listeners.
This is me.
And give me 25.
This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of 50 Days of Dragon Con. The podcast is now, you know, halfway through 50 days. And Lee continues to be stuck in a Mexican prison, even though she's not even in Mexico. So joining me tonight is the unidentified madman. How you doing,
hey,
buddy?
Guys.
And Rob. Rob for the first time this season.
Hello.
Hey. And of course, William is here as well. Hey, William.
Hey.
He'll be joining us once again to do our game at the end. Real quick, before we get started, a couple of things. Hey, Madman, I don't know if you heard, but apparently there's going to be seating at the Peachtree Center. Just have to remind everybody.
Yes, according to DragonCon, we definitely are going to have seating, and all the restaurants should be open and functioning, so there should be plenty of spaces for people to eat and congregate and whatnot.
What's crazy is Twitter keeps... I keep getting... because, you know, DragonCon posted it and did a mention for me, and I keep getting like, and this is like now a week and a half after the fact. It's like, oh really? So, it's cool. So, and they say that they'll have more seating than they had last year, which, of course, is bonus information. We'll talk a little bit in just a second about the guests, but Zan has called in with some updates on hotels that are going on. So let me play that. Of course, all this information, her call came in yesterday. So by the time you get this, this information could be old, but it's important. Anyway, here, let me play it for you real quick.
Hi, this is Eternal Zan from way back in the day 3 episode. Just wanted to let you know that deposits have started coming out for the Westin Host Hotel. Whenever there's a deposit deadline for any of the hotels, some expired credit cards get denied, and then these rooms get canceled, and then new rooms open up. Newly available rooms may or may not be available at the discounted Dragon Con rate. New rooms have also recently opened up at the Hilton and the Marriott host hotels. To get more information, please call your hotel and check the Dragon Con official website. To get help from the fan community, read the recent post in the Facebook group called Dragon Con Rooms. This is an unofficial resource that helps people get hotel rooms and roommates. Have a great Dragon Con.
Cool. Thank you very much, Zan, for calling that information in. And as always, if any of you have any comments or questions that you want us to either address on air, or just some comments you want to put on, or, you know, try to track down some a bit of information, you can leave us a voicemail at 813-321-0884. That's 813-3210-TUG. So, T-U-G, the Unique Geek. So, yeah, so you can send us information that way, or you can always send it to 50days@theuniquegeek.com. That's 50days@theuniquegeek.com if you want to send an email, and of course also through our Facebook page, which is The Unique Geek. That's that. Going on to guests that we have had announced since the last time we talked, which by the way was a few days ago, but as this comes out, it will be exactly 25 days until Dragon Con. So this is dead center here. Hey, and Rox has joined us. Rox!
Hello.
Rox made it home from how long did it take you? 4.5 hours?
Oh, it was longer because the
traffic,
the rain.
Oh, and okay, yeah.
All right, and traffic.
Yes, traffic's awful.
Is that like that all the time?
Yes, that's why when you said that you were leaving from folks, so you know, she drove from Jacksonville to St. Petersburg to watch a Rays game and then turn around and drive back. Yeah. Those of you that don't know Florida is a very narrow state, but it's extremely long. And to get from Jacksonville to Tampa or to St. Petersburg is at least 4 hours in good weather.
Yes.
And good traffic. And then she left at 4 o'clock out of the stadium.
Yes.
And so she hit the bridges right at the time when everyone else is trying to get across the bridges.
Oh my God. It's just terrible. We're talking about getting around Atlanta, aren't we?
Yeah, we will. We will talk about that in a minute. But guests that have been announced since last time we talked, Catherine Tate from Doctor Who, The Office, The Catherine Tate Show, a bunch of other stuff. She's been around for a long time. But Catherine Tate from Doctor Who's been announced. Brandon Routh, is that how we pronounce it, Madman?
I believe it's Brandon Routh, but I could be wrong.
Okay. Legends of Tomorrow, Arrow, Superman Returns. Probably the last best Superman film.
That's debatable, but I like Brandon Routh, so we're going to leave
I'm saying given the recent rash of...
Just going to leave that alone. We're going to bypass right past that.
Look, I like Henry Cavill. I think he's fantastic. I think it might be nice if Superman was actually a nice guy, though. Anyway.
We're going to bypass right all of this.
Aaron Ashmore from Killjoys, Warehouse 13, Lost Girl, Smallville, a bazillion other things. Tamsin, is it Tamsin McDonough? McDonough? Anybody? Killjoys? Nobody. Ew. Nobody knows how it's pronounced. Elizabeth Henstridge from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I'm going to need you to not pronounce anyone's names anymore.
I know. Just look on the website, everyone. No.
And
the new
is
people
have
asterisks.
Is it Nickel Frist? Nick Frost? Nick Frost. That's what it
Nick
is. Nick Frost.
Frost.
Yes. Into the Badlands. That's the adult version of that show. Into the Badlands. Shaun
Which
of the
is
Dead.
A fantastic show, by the
it
way.
It is freaking phenomenal. Into the Badlands, Shaun of the Dead, and Hot Fuzz, and Spaced, which I was just watching the other day.
And Attack the Block.
Attack the Block.
Is
great. Yes.
Let's see what else. Basically, any
John Boyega.
Pretty much anything that that was a Simon Pegg.
Simon Pegg.
And Edgar Wright production. He's been in it. So those are the latest announcements. But with that said, I know that you've been brought up to date. We're going to talk to some pros here, some seasoned pros. We've got, like I said, we have Madman, Rob, and Rox, and they've been attending Dragon Con for some time. And they know their ways around Dragon Con. They know their way. They know the things to pack and the things not to pack and how best to get around. So let's start with you, Rob. When trying to get, do you have any tips that maybe a newcomer to Dragon Con might not consider when they first show up at either their first or second con?
Well, first of all, before you come to Dragon Con, assess what your comfort level is with thousands and thousands of people.
Yeah.
Which I know sounds weird, but I've seen it where people get there, they spend all that money to get there, and then, oh my gosh, there's so many people, I can't go out in this. Mm-hmm. Now, fortunately, you can watch panels and stuff in your hotel, but that kind of defeats the purpose. So understand, you will not be able to move around the Marriott like you would normally move around a Marriott. I'm just saying. The other thing is, you know, there is a sense usually of when you go to a convention that, hey, I'm going to go on vacation. It's going to be great. I'm just going to let whatever is and just go for it. Dragon Con, like building a professional sports stadium or perhaps, you know, founding a republic or, you know, building a house, requires a certain degree of organization and planning more than you would probably do at another convention. Mm-hmm. The upside of it is that, you know, there's a lot of cool people. You'll have fun. And the staff and the volunteers are all incredibly nice. So, you know what you want to go see. but then have two or three backup plans for stuff you want to see in case you can't get in. Get comfortable. A lot of people don't think about comfortable shoes. You know, I think Rox, you said it before, escalators are your friend. But also plan on comfortable shoes. And you know, we can talk about this later, but, you know, prepare for con crud ahead of time. Be proactive.
What about you, Rox? What would you tell someone that was coming to Dragon Con specifically, their first time? I know cons vary from, you know, depending upon where you're at, but Dragon Con is its own special beast. What would you
tell them? I first say a convention like this that grows from, you know, 4 days to unofficial 6 days, it's a marathon. And as Rob says, comfortable shoes, yes, hands down, yes. If you could manage to try to get your walking in, is to build up stamina. I am not kidding. It is a marathon. There's going to be a long amount of time that you're standing, waiting, you know, it wouldn't help. It wouldn't hurt you to, you know, start now. I don't know when this is going up. So any little bit helps. Hydrate. Like Rob said. There's so much going on. And I've heard, you know, we all hear the people would say, oh, this was sold out. That was sold. You know, I couldn't get into this room, All of a sudden my con sucks. Well, you know what? There's lots of other stuff you can go see. So always have a backup plan. Always, always have a backup plan. And actually organize downtime too.
Yeah.
That's important. So if you're going back to back to back to back, I know people that are like, we didn't eat for 2 days because they organized, they had so much stuff filled, there was zero downtime. So that's like, I think that's the initial thing is Rob's right about comfort level because I would say, isn't it like almost 10,000 new people show up at Dragon Con each year now?
It seems to be the pattern.
I mean, it's just like growing insane.
Yeah.
I think 600 people a minute coming to Dragon Con for the first time.
And if you're not in the con hotel, I don't know everybody if the streaming thing is going really well, but that's something to look into.
Yeah, you're right.
So, but yeah, it's a marathon, people. Think about your health, think about your comfort level, and then we could talk about other stuff. But on a whole, it is a marathon.
What about you, Madman? If I was to come to you and say, you know what, I'm going to just show up on Thursday night, and I've never been to a con before, and I'm just going to buy my tickets right now, and I've just decided to show up. What would you say to me?
I would say that you're pretty foolish. To presume that you're just going to show up Thursday night, buy a ticket, and everything's going to be okay, you're probably going to die. But that being said, on to more upbeat news. Honestly, if that was the case, you're going to end up having a fabulous time, right? It's one of the reasons why, even though, yes, it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and Monday for a lot of us.
It's Wednesday, sir.
Yes. Well, that's... Look, we're not telling everyone about Wednesday yet, Rox, okay? We just got everyone to accept Thursday as a day, all right? We've managed to be successful with that for a couple of years now. Let's let that marinate for a sec, all right? That's where we get our downtime at.
Can we move Dragon...
See each other.
Can we move Dragon... Can we move Dragon Con to the woods and treat it like Burning Man style?
Like Burning Man? Yeah. Right. We could do that.
Yeah, it's version of Burning Man. That is what the
shit is. It's the air-conditioned version of Burning Man. Yes.
Well, I don't know. Certain places don't have a lot of air conditioning, such as the habit trails. But,
and I know we may not have as good a hygiene either by Friday morning. But back on topic, honestly, if you show up on Thursday, you know, and you plan on being there all weekend, know that you're probably not going to get a hotel, right? Hotels are typically sold out months in advance. It is possible due to some cancellations. And if you heard the message at the beginning of this podcast, Eternal Zan, there are some Dragon Con rooming Facebook groups where people are still actively looking for rooms, or people are willing to give up rooms due to some form of financial hardship where they can't make Dragon Con this year. So there are always little last minute things you can do to possibly swing a room. Maybe not at the host hotel, but at a nearby hotel, because typically, along with Dragon Con, every year is the Chick-fil-A kickoff at the new dome downtown, which means two SEC college football teams will be going head-to-head that weekend as well, along with all of their fans that have driven or flown into town. So keep in mind, Dragon Con, you're looking at about 70-something thousand people that weekend. In addition to that, you've got another good 30,000 people that are here to watch football. And we all tend to get along very, very well. With that being said, you know, if you're new, hydrate. I said this on the other podcast. The things that Rox and both Rob were saying about being prepared and comfortable shoes and walking. It is the Hyatt, the Hilton, the Marriott, the Sheraton, and the Apparel Mart, right? Mm-hmm. While there are habit trails where you can walk through and get everywhere, it is you hiking through those hotels and through downtown the entire time. Be planning ahead. There's a wonderful app that should be out before the end of the month that will allow you to actually keep track of everything, and it has built-in maps along with your panels that tells you how to get back and forth. But let's face it, if you are at the Hyatt Regency, which is on Peachtree, and you have to go all the way to the Sheraton for your panels, that is a hike downhill that you're going to have to come back up and then possibly go back down and then come back up again for main programming, right? There's a lot of back and forth. There is a lot of, like, just physical wear and tear when you factor in the humidity. Again, what we said on the other podcast the other night, hydrating, most of the rooms do have some form of water in there. The hotels have actually done a really, really good job of during those panels, you know, having water in the back of the room where you can go fill up. There are water fountains everywhere. There are several places where you can, in stores in each of the hotels, where you can go buy bottled water. Hydrate. There's the CVS on Peachtree. Hydrate, right? You're doing a lot of walking and wear and tear on your body. You're sweating a lot, which leads me to the other thing is, hey, hydrate and deodorant, right? Let's face it. There's a lot of people, right? There are a lot of people trying to sleep in cars and what have you, and not necessarily showering per day. Shower. If you have a hotel room, shower, right? If you don't have a hotel room, by all means, get some form of deodorant. Pop into one of the bathrooms somewhere. Do a bird bath. Whatever you need to do to make this a pleasant experience for everyone, right? And no one likes walking in on Friday morning, and it's like, okay, it's only Friday morning. And
it's only Friday morning, yes.
Right, and you smell like Monday. You know, that's unacceptable, but it's a thing that it happens, right? We blame it on the gamers, but the truth is it's other people that are out walking around.
So I should...
That's all a horrible joke, right? It was like, oh, don't go in the gaming room. But the truth is, hey, a lot of them have better hygiene than a lot of people that are like walking back and forth from panel to panel, right? Because they're just sitting in there playing games all day. So they're kind of getting the bad rap.
And even though even though they moved to Apparel Mart, their air conditioning still seems to be the best. And I do want to point out something since Madman brought it up and remind everyone that sleeping in panel rooms is a no-no. Sleeping in the hallways of the hotels is a no-no. Sleeping in your car is you're taking it at your own risk as to what I'm pretty sure Atlanta
that law might be a no-no as well.
I think as far as Atlanta's concerned, it's not legal probably. So, you know, if you don't have a hotel,
only illegal if you get caught.
The views of Mad Men are not necessarily the views of Dragon Con or the Unique Geek. Certainly not Dragon Con, because, you know, this is an unofficial podcast, though. But certainly not the, well, possibly not the Unique Geek. Possibly.
So I'm not going to mention the 24-hour parking deck.
Let them find out.
So Rock, speaking of getting around, do you have a special path you like to take when you have to get from one hotel to another? And does it vary day to day?
Yes, the one of least resistance.
It is. It's called getting on a little bike and going downhill.
Absolutely. Okay, Rob, for those of us that don't have a bike, how do you?
Really? I mean, come on. Okay, all right. So sometimes I do walk the bike. So there are more intrepid people out there now, and they are using... Okay, big thing is... Atlanta now has the bike trails, the bike path areas.
Mm-hmm.
And I do. And so when those were installed, a lot of the people will use that area because, you know, cars can't go onto it. So it extends the sidewalk pretty much. And it's near the Hyatt, and it goes up the Apparel Mart area from the Apparel Mart to Peachtree, and then near the Hyatt. So use that. So that's a good one. Honestly, I try to stay away from the habit trails as much as possible. So I do go outside if I have to walk. And I have walked, I will say, because there's always a bottleneck thing going on through the habit trail things.
It's a Petri dish.
It is. Well, two, like if you're on the Dragon Con bridge that goes from the Hyatt to the Marriott, please know there's no stopping. You cannot stop. You cannot do photographs. They'll yell at you. Do not do that. So I'll do like a couple runs through it just to see what's going on. But usually I do go outside because it is faster. The police are out and they usually monitor the traffic on what's the street between the Hyatt and the Marriott. What is that?
That's not West Peachtree. That's Piedmont, I believe. Is
Piedmont, yeah. So the cops are there. They're going to be there all weekend long. You know, I go outside. It's faster.
It really is. A lot of times it's faster to do that during the day at night, especially if there are other big events going on. It's easier to get go around, except for the caveat with that is directly after the parade. You do not want to be outside anywhere after the parade. If you want breakfast that morning, get to where you need to before the parade starts.
Yep.
Because once the parade starts, you will not be able to get to anywhere to eat except for maybe Waffle House. I know one year I had to walk literally the entire circumference of Dragon Con to get from all the way around from almost like the Westin all the way to the Hilton all the way in the back.
Oh, and but you can't cross the street.
You can't.
You had to go all the way around.
I had to go around the entire parade route, but I ended up running into Adam West, so I'm okay with that one that year. However, last year, what I ended up doing was getting up just early enough that I could cut right across the road. And while everyone was at the parade, I actually went into Peachtree Center and had a nice quiet breakfast and everything was lovely.
Yep.
As soon as I got up, the parade was over and that place gets mobbed. So if you want peace, do that.
Hey. Or you sign up for the parade, like I've done in the past, and you ride the parade.
Just so you can get through everything.
Because you get the badge, and you get to go to the back, and you know, they filter you through that. So
that it's too late to do that at this point.
To sign up, yes. So you have to sign up early if you're going to be in the parade.
You guys have a different philosophy with the parade than I do, and that I punt the parade completely because they'll repeat it on Dragon Con TV later. And I use that time to go to the Walk of Fame.
Yeah.
Get the two or three autographs I do want. Like, one year I did that, and I ended up getting to talk to Carol Spinney for 45 minutes because nobody else was at his table.
Oh, that is
that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So you can have some, you know. Now, bear in mind, Dragon Con's not what it used to be because there are lines now to get into the Walk of Fame early in the day.
Mm-hmm.
So I would, you know, but the parade time, you don't want to mess with that, and that scares you. Use that time as something to figure out, oh, is there a fan panel I want to go to? Because there's programming during the parade. If you miss a fan panel that you want to go see, like if you want to go see a Firefly panel, but it's the same time as, you know, going to see an Avengers panel, then if it repeats, or if there's a different type of program, use some of that to do some fill-in time for your panels because things won't be that crowded. You know, the parade's awesome, but it's just turned into such a nightmare in terms of getting around. I use it for a lot of other stuff now, that time. And it's a lot more relaxing for the con.
Well, here's the other thing. When you guys were talking about making sure you factor in rest time, not taking away from the parade, but for those of you that are out a little bit later in the evening and may not want to be up as early, it's the perfect time to actually get some downtime. Mm-hmm. Get some rest, get some food and water in your system while everyone's downstairs, you know, standing on the street that you can't walk through.
The parade will last, even though the parade actually doesn't start till 10, it will last from like 8 a.m. until noon or 1 o'clock. Yeah. So
that's really
well. Yes, I mean, pretty
people are out there getting choice spots.
Yeah,
as
yeah.
Early as it 8 starts, o'clock.
It starts back. It starts back on.
Tough.
And it's what's really cool about the parade is there are people that have no intention of coming to Dragon Con. They have no interest in anything at all with Dragon Con, but they come to the parade to watch it because
it's
the city.
Yeah, yeah. It is a cool thing for the city to do. You know, sort of can I dovetail in what you just said, Madman,
mm-hmm.
about downtime. The other thing I would recommend someone doing, if at all possible, with regards to like sleep and hydration and stuff, is, you know, it's like going to a party where you know you're going to drink. Have a buddy that, you know, is just going to say, okay, you need some sleep or, you know, you're done, right? Because that's really, really important. I mean, for 10, 15 years, I would run myself into the ground with this damn thing. And now, you know what? Going to bed early one or two nights is not the end of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if you have an hour or 2 hour gap between your programming, naps are fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, set your phone, take a nap.
Just not near the escalator or in any of the lobbies, please.
Yeah,
if you can get on an elevator, you can probably take a nap there.
If you're lucky and you have a hotel
and still not miss your floor,
swimming pool or a jacuzzi, oh my god, that's actually a great time to hang out with other people. And you're talking about the convention, so it's one of the cool things I like to do is share. It's like, hey, I will ask somebody if I'm in a line for something. Doesn't matter if it's like the badge for next year or you're in line for a need coffee event, ask somebody, hey, what did you see? So you can, and then you're swapping stories. And so that adds to your convention. Cause then you're like, oh, okay, I'll check that out or whatever. And I think am I correct? And I didn't do it last year. The streaming app, don't you get access to whatever they recorded? Like, couple months later after
you're from what I understand how it's worked is that you are able to you get it one, you know, and then I think it's good for a full year, I mm-hmm. think, and you're able to watch, they put different content up and you can watch it. I'm a big fan.
It's like the janitors and stuff. I love watching those, but go ahead, sorry.
Bob and Girl,
you also have panels. I'm a big fan of like, okay, is there a panel I want to see that is up against another panel I want to see. Oh, it's going to be on Dragon Con TV or on the app. I'll go, you know what? It's okay if I see this later. And there's things about, you know, and so that is taken away with some of the line, you know, some of the hurt of like, oh, I can't get in this panel. It's good. You know what? It's going to be on Dragon Con TV or it's going to be on streaming later, and that's okay. And it's also nice too, because I think if you have someone at home and they want to see, a panel that you did or something, they can watch it, you know, if they have a streaming thing, which is kind of cool. And there is, keep an eye on, whatever social media you're on with Facebook too, keep an eye on that for panel changes and panels and repeats and stuff. But yeah, I mean, that augment whatever services there are available so that you don't have to walk as far and stand in line as much as possible. They're really making an effort to get as many of the people that come there to see as much stuff as you can. And, it's not about being the coolest or being in the room first or whatever. It's just, it's a marathon. So what you need to do is sort of figure out, okay, how can I maximize all the stuff I want to see? If I don't see it now, I can see it later. That's cool. It's perfectly fine to wait 5 months to see Nathan Fillion on a panel later. It's okay.
So we got the video membership, and I was just looking it up on last year, looking at it up on DragonCon store. If you're a member, in other words, you have a badge at DragonCon, you can go to the store and purchase it you can even purchase it in advance for $10. If you aren't a member, you can still get the DragonCon streaming membership for $30. So it's still even a bargain at that. And William, we bought it in it was good. We got to see several panels that we wanted to see, but we couldn't see it, right?
Yeah, especially Nathan Fillion panel.
Yeah.
That was nice.
Yeah. So even for that, the price of admission, because we're watching it, we watched it on the TV at home before, all four of us wound up watching it for the $10. If you're a family and you bring it home, you can watch it together. You don't have to have your own separate one. But also, I do need to point out something because it's brought up, the parade was brought up. I need to point out that Eddie McClintock is not the Grand Marshal this year. Okay. It's an ongoing thing. Lee insisted he was, but he's not.
I don't know if it was brought up with directors or anything who do moderate the larger the actor panels. Don't they ask? When you stand in line while the panel's going on and you're going to ask a question, I think some of the directors or moderators will ask, what is your question? Because they're trying to streamline some of the questions, of like, mm-hmm. I love, can I have a hug? Can I have this? Mm-hmm. Aren't they? Well, I think some of them are doing that.
Rob, let me.
So you don't get the same. Go ahead.
Let me throw that question over to Rob, because, Rob does moderate for main programming fairly often. What are some of the pro tips as far as asking questions and regular con etiquette as far as in those big panels?
Well, there's a couple things. One, don't ask your guest for a hug. Don't give them a present. Give them a present at their table. You cannot invade their personal space in any way, shape, or form. Physically, but that also goes to a certain extent, I think, personally too. Don't ask questions that you would not ask an ordinary human being in public. First of all, second of all, you may think your question is the most important question in the world, but be respectful of other people in line. Be nice to the people that are running those lines and doing the mics, because a lot of the times those guys have been in that room 3-4 hours longer than you. So be nice to those folks. That's really nice. I mean, being nice to those staff folks that work those panel rooms is really, really important. That just like a please and a thank you and, find your seat and don't be a jerk. That stuff is huge. But getting to the core of the thing, don't ask questions that are inappropriate. Try to ask one question at a time, because generally you will, for a panel that's 45 minutes, you'll have maybe 30 minutes of that time devoted to fan questions, and they got to get, 10,000 people that want to ask a question. So do the math. So have a question that's short, concise, think about what your question's going to be, how you want to word it. Also, don't be afraid, if you're not a public speaking person, with your question because they'll make you feel comfortable. If you really want to ask a question, but you don't necessarily like public speaking, it's okay. They'll work with you on that. So don't let that hold you back. It's for everybody. You know, the big thing though is just have your question ready. Don't make it long and really think about what you're asking and try to make sure your question has already been asked during the panel. That's the other
so,
thing.
Yeah. So yeah, probably prepare a couple of questions, especially if you're not the first person in line. And to Rox's point, I know that when I've run the microphone for Lee or for other moderators, they've asked that I make sure that they have a question already queued and ready to go. And the person running the mic may very well ask you, what is your question before you're ever on mic or whatever, just so that they can hear it, hear that you know what you're going to ask. And make sure that it is appropriate, right? And be respectful of those people when they say, well, you know, that's probably not appropriate. They, you know, can you rephrase it? I had one time where the person literally wanted to do exactly what we just talked about, which is, I'm going to ask her to marry me. And I'm like, we're not going to do that. Do you have another question? No, I want to ask them to marry me. Well, we're not going to do that. How about you try this question? So it's you know, it's, and of course it's just, you know, socially inappropriate to,
I feel like none of that applies to Barrowman though.
No.
Well, no,
I feel like half of those rules get suspended from Barrowman.
But the reality is it's Barrowman asking those questions, not the audience.
I mean, it goes down to physical comedy. You get hugs. There are inappropriate things. Yeah.
But they're all coming from the guest, not from the host. It's more appropriate from the inappropriate from the guest than it is from the audience. So since we're on the topic of panels, is there something that you've? I'll throw this over to you, Madman. Is there something that you've? A question that you've heard before that really made you kind of groan and, you know, make the rest of the audience very uncomfortable?
Not necessarily.
Outside of in a Barrowman.
No, not even a Barrowman, you know, with the, you know, cause that comes with a butt grab and everything else. And people don't think I'm yelling about Barrowman sexually harassing people. That is not the case. Everything has been, he's been actually a consummate gentleman to everyone. That we've ever had the privilege of working with here at this convention. So it is really just jokes. But in all seriousness, I really, really haven't. I think long time ago, things I have seen are when people approach guests when they're not on a panel and kind of aren't respectful of the guest space, right? Mm-hmm. I know I run into a lot of people and I make a judgment call in that moment. Hey, do I, you know, if you're going to do that, say hi, say I enjoy your work. If they're willing to engage you, cool. If they're not and they're busy and they say they are, let them leave. They are there performing a job. They have things that they need to do. They're on schedules. They have handlers. You know, not all of them are as, how do I put this delicately? Not all of them, a lot of them may have the same social anxieties that a lot of the members of Dragon Con have, right? Mm-hmm. So they may not be as comfortable talking to total strangers in the middle of a crowd, right?
Or at dinner,
right? If they're at dinner, leave them alone. Right.
Well, here's a good point is, and I remember when like Warehouse 13 actors came around and Grimm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They've done Comic-Con. Okay. Now, but the thing is when they do Comic-Con, they're all in Hall H. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's just, you're sitting there constantly and they just bring the next group out. So they don't know how to gauge from Comic-Con their fan base until they get to Dragon Con. Mm-hmm. And they go to a panel discussion and it's three ballrooms full of people. They're like, wait a minute, these are our fans? They're like, absolutely. and it freaks them out. It, you know, they're thrilled, but DragonCon, I think, is one of those places where the actors really find out, you know, because, you know, they get the numbers from, you know, NBC, CBS, however, but to actually interact with, this might be the first time that they've actually seen, oh my God, these are our fans. Holy, you know, that it could be daunting for them. Just keep that in mind.
That's very true. They're people too.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So Rob, is there any other tip that you can think of for, just in general that you do, for Dragon Con to prepare yourself for Dragon Con or when you're at Dragon Con, that you might want to convey to people?
I try to, I know it sounds like you've got to be kidding because we've, you know, probably scared the hell out of people, but I try to, you know, outside of the walking to and from hotels, oxygen is your friend. So get out of the hotels a little bit and mm-hmm. breathe and build in some social time. I try to build in at least a half day to see something in the city. So I feel like, you know, I'm a human being. like each year I manage to hit, you know, two or three record stores or go to the High or something, you know, just to get out. But like last year I went to go see Rocky Erickson. You know, there's other things going on in the city. It's really cool to, like, you know, take a breather from the con a little bit and try to find a window to do that doesn't, you know, throw your schedule out, because I think one, it lessens your running around, and two, it just mentally just sort of frees your mind up a little. Now, the other thing is, you know, with all those people there comes germs. So get your Z-Pack, get your elderberry, get your emergency, you know, take all those, you know, preventative, you know, get sick ahead of time as much as you can. And hand sanitizer is also you know, and just, you know, make a grid. Your grid is going to get torn up. The other thing that's really important, read the Daily Dragon. They put a letter every day while the Daily Dragon tells you of changes, because sometimes a guest cancels or sometimes they can't do a particular panel or they move around. And that, it is miraculous, because sometimes a panel that I hadn't planned on being able to go to, I'll be able to go to because the person I want to see is moved to a different day and time now. So keep an eye on that. And, you know, as much as we're telling you to plan, also have a certain amount of flexibility built into your stuff.
Same question to you, Rox.
Oh my gosh. Do something totally unique. So a couple of years ago, I didn't plan anything. Okay. I did do a couple of panels with Need Coffee, but what I did, I made up a sign and I said, take me to your panel. Mm-hmm. And it was totally random. And I saw stuff. I went to panels I had absolutely no interest in, but they turned out great. A couple people don't like, you know, they don't like to go to a panel by themselves. And they're like, hey, you want to go to this panel? Absolutely. I'll go with you. You know, and I mean, it was like how to build a lab in your house and stuff. So, yeah. You know, one of them was a science panel. Go broaden your horizons. I mean, I know that there are a lot of people who do cosplay. I mean, I do it. Madman does it. But it's like, that's not all. You know, I have a friend, my hairdresser. He'll kill me if he hears this story. But last year, he was holding his bag for his wife. He loved going, but he didn't really get to see the convention because he was helping his wife who was doing cosplay. So I know he doesn't listen to this, but, you know, I love my hair, Ronnie. So anyway, if you're going with a group, you know, or like a couple people, split off, use your phone, use texting. Don't, you don't have to be bound at the hip, mm-hmm. you know, because mm-hmm. there's so much going on. I mean, John, you went with your family, and how did that go?
William, how'd that go?
Incredibly well.
So there you go.
So, okay.
I was not bound at the hip by them to them because I also had other responsibilities besides just hanging out with them. So
okay, but yeah, do something different. Then they have fun with it.
Madman, same question to you.
What's the question again?
What size underwear do you wear?
Where are we? Oh, large. Next.
I don't know why it took them so long to answer that question.
I don't know. No. It's either that or command, bro. But
any other pro tips for folks?
I'm going to go back to about 4 or 5 years ago, where Dana Snyder started raiding all of the bathrooms in the hotel.
Oh, my God, yeah.
You know, you got to go. And there are some bathrooms that are nicer than others and that are more private. You want to try the Marriott or the Hilton. They each have, like, the kind of the private
stalls.
The private doors. So, and you got private stalls. You close the doors. You can't
use those to sleep in, people.
No, you can't. I don't think you would want to. But they keep them really, really clean. And I can tell you. So going back to the whole cosplay thing, like I started that a couple of years ago. And then last year I made a whole different costume that is very, very, very cumbersome and not easy to take off and a lot of parts. And I swear to you, the bathrooms at the Marriott and at the Sheraton also like saved my life, right? Because literally in order for me to do anything, I had to actually take a bunch of things off, and it made it so much easier. And again, thank you to all of the hotel staff because they do a good job of keeping things, you know, clean and sanitary. Mm-hmm. Considering how many people are there, that it's incredible.
It is.
So there's that. But they've been, in all honesty, I now take time to rest. I take a lot more photos, especially now that we're in the day and age of everyone's got a cell phone, you know, that takes wonderful pictures pretty much, right? I try to take as many photos as possible and kind of capture whatever moment I'm in. I actually now take more breaks of, you know, I don't have to try to go see everything. I try to go do at least one panel that I just haven't done before. I think I sat through one panel a couple of years ago with my wife by going to some panels with her because we look at totally different things. But who was it? Crew Shadows. They did a panel late one evening on A Nightmare Before Christmas. It's fantastic, right? I've gotten to pop into other cosplay panels that I would have not necessarily gone to in years past. And listen to those. Those were great. You know, don't stick with your group, right? You don't have to stick with your group. You know, plan dinners within reason and what have you, and time to like see each other and do things, right? But you know, kind of make a list and realize, hey, this isn't life or death, right? There's always more things. Give yourself a time out. You know, I'm really big on, make sure you eat, make sure you hydrate, make sure you sit down for a little bit, right? And a lot of times you get some of that sit down time while you're sitting in a panel, right?
Yes.
Where it's like, ah, I'm off my feet for an hour. I can just sit here and relax and listen and laugh and enjoy the moment and not have to be doing anything, right? Just kind of, you know, enjoy the moment. It's a lot to take in. It can throw some people with anxiety into fits. I know that happened to my daughter one year when she went to Dragon Con. She was like, ooh, this is just too much. By contrast, we had another friend that was her age at the time with us, and she loved it, right? She's like me. She was like, nope, I'm an extrovert, and we're all going out and doing this. So, you know, go at your own pace, right? Go at your own comfort level, but also don't be afraid to take a step back. And by all means, shower and deodorant. I can't stress that enough.
Cool. All right. So before we get to our game, Rob, do you have your did you get your schedule yet, or do you have a tentative schedule where people can find you at Dragon Con?
I have a rough idea of some of the things, but it is, again, a work in progress, and all of the some of that stuff's all in flux. So I have somewhat of an idea of what I'm doing.
Okay. Well, of course, the Need Coffee Fun Fest, which I think all of us will be at. That'll be Sunday night at 10 o'clock in the tentative, by the way, tentative. Everything is tentative. Let's see. Consult your guide and your Sherpa.
It's the Regency.
It's the Regency. Okay, that's what I was looking for. I was looking for the Regency.
And we have candy. We love throwing candy. We throw candy at you and popcorn.
Yes. Yeah, candy. Let's see. Yep, the fun fest. Oh, I just realized it. What they just did to me.
So we'll also schedule. Be on Solve This.
Yeah, Hyatt Regency 5 at 10 o'clock on Sunday is the fun fest. Solve This. I think it's me, Roxanne.
Saturday at 7.
Mad Men is Saturday at 7 at the Hyatt Regency. Same place actually as the.
Well, you know what? Okay, just let's start at the top. We do kick everything off with needcoffee.com with Make the Bad Men Stop, and that is 1 o'clock at Valdosta at the Sheraton.
That's in the extract room. One. Yeah.
Wait a minute. Don't we have that one at 11 on Friday?
No, it's at 1.
It's at 1. One.
It's. I think it's always been at 1. Hasn't it?
Actually, that's a good point, because now that Thursday starts it off, Friday starts at 11
or 11:30.
Something like that.
Really? Thursday starts at 11?
No, Friday.
No,
Friday. Friday. Oh, yeah, but I don't think, you know, this is our, you know, Lee's thing. We've always had this one at 1.
Okay.
I don't remember it at 11.
Let's see. Those are the big events. As far as that's concerned. So, as we've been doing, anybody else got any big events that they're going to be?
I know Rox and I are doing a panel for Lee on robots.
Yeah, we're doing, so let me run my schedule. I've got Science of Sherlock, and I'll be, that's for Friday, 2:30, Galleria Hilton. So that's Brit Track, Women of Doctor Who. That's Friday at 8:30 PM, Galleria Hilton. Rob and I are going to be on Machines as Heroes or Villains, description of persons of interest to Terminator, to Mr. Robot.
Ooh, Terminator's got new cast photos out too.
Yeah. So that's Saturday at 2:30, Valdosta. I'm on the post-apocalyptic pseudoscience, and that's for SkepTrack, and that's 4 PM. That's at the Hilton. Who's on this one? The Netflix Presents the End of the World. That's at Saturday, 5:30 at Chastain Weston. So that must be Apocalypse Rising. We're all on, well, you know, Widge, John Boutel, myself. I don't know who's the fourth. Solve This, that's 7 on Saturday. And Rob and I are doing, oh my God. Okay, so please show up at this one. I did this last year. It's insane. So Alt History, they like to do the late night adult themes. And this is the decadence and liberation of the Weimar Germany. I've been on a panel for Man in the High Castle, and we actually do get a decent crowd at 1 a.m. on Sunday morning. Yeah. So, yeah, swing by. Yes. And then, of course, the fun fest is. So I don't have anything else on Sunday. So I'm going to be sleeping, I think, on that Sunday.
I've got the Machines and Heroes panel. I'm doing a panel on Krypton, the TV series.
Oh, nice.
And, again, a lot of this is still in flux. I'm doing a Doctor Who asked the experts panel, which I hate the name of, but it's a bunch of people sitting around talking about all the stuff going on with Doctor Who. And then I don't have a complete schedule. I know that I'm doing the Peter Capaldi Pearl Mackey panel, I believe, on Sunday at 10.
Ooh, Rob.
And I think I have two Catherine Tate panels, which this is all tentative. And I have I tentatively have the Tate Barrelman panel. And then panels for Smallville, I think, and Once. I think they're moderating for those. I think that's kind of what's going on. I'm probably going to do more Brit Track stuff. I don't really know. I know the American Sci-Fi, I might be doing stuff with them as well. But I don't really know yet. A lot of it sort of depends on what happens with the main programming, because then I know where I have to be, and I pace myself around that. So I pretty much have the main coffee in the main and kind of fill in everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And then other people, mainly Lee and Widge, go, no, 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 rest, rest, good, yeah, sleep, okay, good. And I go from there.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, so tonight, what are we playing tonight, William?
We'll be playing Family Feud, the Marvel Edition.
Family Feud,
oh,
the
man,
Marvel
I'm
Edition.
Lose.
Here we go again.
Okay.
There we go.
There.
I can hear you.
Yay.
All right. So we'll go in this order. We'll start with Rox, then Rob, then Madman, then me. So what's the first question? This is the classic survey says type thing. So we'll each give an answer and then we'll figure out if they were on the list or not.
If you were an Incredible Hulk, what color besides green would you like to be?
Okay, Rox.
Oh, I do know this. Gray.
Oh, good job. Good job. Yeah.
Rob?
Blue.
Madman?
Red.
I'll go with purple. All right, were they on the list?
They were all on the list.
Oh, sweet. Okay, how many points? How many points did Rox get for saying gray?
I mean, there's black on the list. That was close enough. So it's 8 points.
I would argue that they're two different colors, but okay. What about Rob?
That's that Florida school.
Well, blue, red, and purple are the top three answers. Purple third with 16, red second with 19, and blue on top with 33.
But great, wait, no, that's wrong. Yeah.
Hold on,
is wrong. There was a whole series of gray Hulk. Sorry. Red.
Yeah,
how much was
She's
red?
Absolutely correct.
How much was red?
19 points.
19 points.
And yes, I got 19 points. That's
how much?
Awesome.
How much was what would you say, Rob? Blue.
I think I said blue, which is probably wrong.
What was it? How many points was for blue?
33 points.
33 points for you. You got the most points. It was the number one answer.
Okay, that's wrong. Blue. That's totally wrong.
So
it,
Hulk is a Smurf. Hulk as a Smurf.
Oh, all right, yeah,
this time
a gray series.
This time we'll start with Rob, then go to Mad Men, then Rox, and then me. What's the next question?
As a side note, some of the questions are in quotes, and I have no idea why. Confuses me. Anyway,
again, not exactly quality material we're working with here. Yeah. So,
name the Spider-Man villain most likely to enter politics.
The Spider-Man villain. Okay, Rob, you get to go first.
Hasn't he already? Well, I would say Dr. Octopus, but we live in an age where images are important. So I will say Green Goblin.
Green Goblin. Okay. Madman.
Well, he stole my answer out from under me. So I'm going to go along with everything else in our current political landscape and go with our Russian operative, Kraven the Hunter.
Okay. Rox.
I'm going with Aunt May.
Aunt May, she's not a villain.
That's awesome. Wait, which Aunt May?
That's what she wants you to think.
Aunt May or like old?
The old lady Aunt May. I know, the Aunt May that I grew up with.
The best Aunt May.
The married the mole man, right?
She could be the head of AARP.
I mean, new Aunt May isn't even Aunt May. She's Aunt most definitely.
Oh, she's Aunt whatever. I was a family show. All right, so Aunt May, when she married or was going to marry the mole man,
yeah.
Aunt May.
Yeah.
How's that?
And I will go with Osborn is technically Green Goblin, so...
Yes, that's why I didn't choose that one.
Wow, this is Venom. Where no one figures out. It's like, who...
Venom. I'll go with Venom. All right, so...
What about the Vulture?
Green Goblin alone was on the list.
No, Green Goblin was the only one on the list?
Well, I mean, there was other items on the list, but out of the answers that you said, this is the only one on the list. And it was number one answer with 31 points.
So Rob got 31 points there. So none of the other ones were on the list.
No.
Not even Aunt May.
No. But one of the answers were any of the rich ones.
Any of the rich ones was the quote. Now,
read the answers. I got to hear this.
From the bottom, Jackal, Chameleon, any of the rich ones, Kingpin, and Doc Ock.
Kingpin makes sense.
All right, you can't say just all the rich ones.
According to this, it's a valid answer.
That's laziness.
Yeah.
But how did they pull out Chameleon and Jackal?
That's what I was wondering.
Well,
but it's not like they're like big in the Spider-Man Rogues Gallery.
They are now. They've been and they're huge now. What are you?
All right. So Madman goes.
Haven't read comics in a while, old man.
Get off my lawn. Madman goes first, then Rox, then Rob.
If Captain America was president, which ally would you pick for vice president?
The Falcon.
Falcon. Okay.
I was thinking there's an obvious answer to this, and it's not number one, and that makes me sad.
Right.
Rox, what's your answer?
Aunt May.
Aunt May.
More like
I have
Aunt
a theme.
May.
I have a theme.
Rob?
No, okay. I would go with Dr. Xavier.
Okay.
The Secretary of State.
She's actually assigning the cabinet.
I am.
Rob.
Richards would probably have a cabinet position too, I would think.
Yes, and he'd be more credible than Ben Carson.
Okay, blah blah blah.
Okay, we're moving on. We'll let that go.
I got several people that complained that when we did a political statement last time. I'm like, okay, fair enough.
If Captain America, right?
What's that?
Or president?
Captain America. If he's president, who would he pick for vice president?
Yes.
Now hold on, is this Ultimate's Captain America or like?
Oh,
yeah, because if
no.
it's Ultimate's
now
Captain America, then Hank Pym is immediately removed from the list.
I have to choose between two.
Think of one.
Forehead stand for France.
Say Bucky.
Bucky, that's a good one.
Bucky is a murderous psychopath. You really well.
Agent is a nice soul.
Agent Carter, not going to be on the list, but I thought I'd say it anyway.
All
right, who made the list?
I believe just Bucky and Falcon.
Okay, how many points was for Falcon?
Falcon was 9 points, and Bucky was 11 points. And in third place, which is just that okay. That.
All right. So who else was on the list?
Black Widow, Hawkeye, Iron Man, Hulk, and
they
Thor.
Chose the Russian.
They
spy.
Chose the Russian spy.
This is how we get here, people.
Oh my God, we had to pick from that universe. I didn't want to pick from that universe. No,
I didn't make the rules.
William, pick up a pen and put.
Thor. How did Thor make number one though?
I don't get that.
I know
he can't be president,
but we're not going to go down that road.
He's a demigod. All right, let's move on. This is going into chaos.
It was the Star Stripes and Beer ballot.
Okay, let's go. Rox, Rob, and Madman.
All right.
Name the Marvel villain most likely to use an online dating service.
Marvel villain most likely to use an online dating service. Rox.
Doc Ock.
Oh, he's all hands
and
though.
And Aunt May.
How many times does
she would use Harmony?
Doc Ock gets to swipe left a lot, right? He gets to do it like 4 times.
He's got that weird bowl haircut.
Aunt May's probably on J date.
You think?
She's a New Yorker.
She is. Yeah.
Okay. So is Doc Ock's your answer?
Doc Ock. Yes.
Okay, Rob.
Well.
With a bonus name.
I'm trying to choose between two, but I don't know if Red Skull would find a dating app that goes right. So,
there is one. It's called FarmersOnly.com.
I'm going to say Dr. Doom.
Dr. Doom. Madman.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm at a loss here. I'm going to say it's a Marvel villain that would use a dating service.
Yes.
It's going to have to be one ugly looking.
Vulture's
ugly. Yeah, the Vulture.
Is that who you're going with?
Yeah, that's who I'm going to go with.
Okay, I will go with Loki.
Really? No, we would never use one.
Loki was number one answer.
Loki was a number one answer.
That's the person that has least issues getting a date in the Marvel universe.
All right, see, there's something wrong with this.
Because Loki was the number one answer, how many points do I get?
14 points.
Oh, that's it? Okay.
Yes.
Hardly seems worth it.
Duck Ogg was on the list for 2 points.
I get two points.
None of the other ones were?
Nope.
Okay, who from the bottom up, read them.
Abomination, Venom.
Wait, hold on, hold on. Whoa. Abomination? Okay, go on.
Abomination, that makes sense.
Abomination, Venom, Sandman, and Green Goblin.
Yep. They're all out catfishing people.
Okay, last question. We'll start with Madman, then go to Rox and Rob.
Name the Marvel villain that would be the most frightening landlord.
Marvel villain, the most frightening.
Read that question again.
Yeah.
Name the Marvel villain that would be the most frightening landlord.
The most frightening landlord?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Ooh. Dr. Doom.
Dr. Doom?
Dr. Doom.
Oh.
He already is a landlord of sorts, isn't he?
Yes. Yes. That's the term that we're using, sure.
Rocks.
Wow. I would go with Marvel villain.
Go ahead and pick the other fascist dictator, Red Skull.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Red Skull and Aunt May.
Oh, my God.
Rob?
She'd be all nosy and stuff like Mrs. Kravitz.
Go with Kingpin.
Kingpin. Oh, okay.
Oh,
and I'll go with Norman Osborn.
Oh, he's not going to be your landlord anyway. He's buying your building so he can tear it down.
I'll go with Osborn.
Okay, so Green Goblin's on the list, so
that counts.
Yeah, and also was Kingpin.
Okay, so how many points for Kingpin?
2 points, and Green Goblin was 10 points. And number one was Thanos, because fun is not something one considers when collecting rent.
What is the rest of this list? Hold on. So Kingpin was the bottom, then Loki, Carnage, Green Goblin, and Thanos. Okay, Thanos. Yeah. Although he does have a lot of turnover, so. And he can kick you out at any time, really.
I'm gonna snap my fingers.
Actually, with Thanos, it's like, no, we're going to the past. You don't have this rent, so he's not your landlord, right? Is that how?
Allow me to tally the points. While we do that,
no, you don't have to.
Rox, sing us a song. Rox, sing us a song.
Oh, are you happy and you know what? Clap your hands.
Clap, clap.
Clap. Oh, I don't know. What's that? Oh, you know.
All the leaves are brown. And this guy is gray. Keep going. It's a mashup.
Okay, yeah.
No, you were right the first time. You just ruined it.
It was ruined by this game. It's ruined by this game.
This wicked, wicked game.
All right, William, can you read the scores here?
No, where are you getting this? Is this like the New Yorker put this?
X is rocks.
No, he's asking kids at his school.
Okay.
Oh, well, it's summer school, so it's going to be hard. So you get what? 3 people?
Okay.
You ask at the Dippin' Dots. John, is that how you do it? You go out to the Dippin' Dots.
Well, who came in third, William?
Third was
Madman.
Yes, Madman. Okay, sorry.
Madman you're so was, kind. You're not even saying who the total
was. 28 points.
Is. Thank you.
And second was John for 40 points.
Okay, and then who came in first?
Nepotism.
Well, let's say what is the difference between last place and first place?
How did you
71 points.
Nepotism.
There's 71 points between first and last place. How many points did Rob pull in?
79 points.
For a vote 79. Of no confidence.
And yeah. That would mean that Rox pulled in
a total of 8 two. Points.
3?
You eight. Got 8.
Oh, I got 8? Oh yeah. My god, it's a good night. It's like match game or something. Man, yeah, so please, come to the solve this and you'll see me, like, always lose. You know, so anyway.
Yeah, that's how
that's
it works.
Okay, I'll make you laugh.
All right, folks, thanks again for thanks again to my guests. Thank you for coming out. And as always, you know, enjoy Dragon Con, I guess.
See that's us what
I
around say. The con.
Yes.
Have fun, guys.
We're halfway there in the 50 days. So until next time, for William, Rob, Rox, and Madman, this is John saying peace.
Peace.
Wash your hands.
Drink some
and
more.
And dry them.
Thank you. Yes, good point.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 833-210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter at @TheUniqueGeek. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Share Alike non-commercial license.